This is a message to upcoming gurus in ISKCON. There are many new gurus coming in the sense that the GPC of ISKCON want to promote that there will be many new initiators. Of course, it's not that there's a new guru in the sense that someone isn't a guru and then is a guru. It's if someone's fit to initiate, they should already be a guru in the sense that by their preaching and their practice, they already act as guides and inspirations to others. But specifically in the sense of initiating, the GBC wants to have many new initiators with the idea that there are so many devotees all over the world and there aren't that many initiating gurus, and there are many good, solid devotees who've been practicing Krishna consciousness seriously for quite some time, so let's put them in the role, give them the service of initiating. With the idea that having more gurus with less disciples gives more opportunities for gurus and disciples to personally interact without overburdening gurus with so many disciples and without making them into distant icons. There's more chance for them to personally train their disciples, personally interact with them if they have less disciples. Many gurus and less disciples per guru. That's the general idea. And another reason is the natural events of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. So far it's mostly been Srila Prabhupada's disciples initiating, passing away, and their disciples taking on the responsibility of initiating in the next generation. What is being promoted is that disciples of gurus who are still present, that many of them will start to initiate, which is an experimental innovation. There have been a few cases, very few cases so far, but to make this normalized, it's hard to see how it will all work out. In principle, it seems like not a bad idea, and there have been many cases in the past in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, although I have some reservations in as much as Srila Prabhupada was very much against this, at least with his own disciples, that they should initiate in his presence. Anyway, we'll have to see how it all works out. Everyone has to grow up. Disciples will always remain disciples if they're actually disciples, but they're expected to also take disciples gradually, either officially by initiating or by taking care of others as guides, shiksha gurus. I'm giving this message to try to share some of my experience. I've been initiating for several decades. And also, frankly, I am apprehensive of instituting many new gurus with the idea of, yes, we need new gurus, so let's just make a bunch of new gurus, when many might not seem up to the real standard. It is possible to be designated as a guru within ISKCON and act as one, but still be laghu, and thus not a guru in the real sense. Guru means heavy, laghu means light. I know some of those who are in line to be gurus. You have to pass a bhakti vaibhav examination and have clearance, but you can have the exam passed and the clearance and still be laghu. Simply having these qualifications of passing an exam and getting permission, it doesn't make you guru heavy if you're laghu, means not on a very good level of spiritual advancement. Just as you can't make a brahmana just by putting on a thread, that's true in ISKCON also. You may have passed the requisites and got brahmana initiation, but having a thread and being called a brahmana in ISKCON doesn't make you a brahmana in the true sense of the term. It requires much qualification. And as we've heard many times, you can't make a guru simply by appointment. For years, it's been easier to get clearance for initiating in ISKCON than to be able to take sannyas. Now, its guruship is being opened very widely. Some gurus in particular want to encourage many of their disciples to go ahead and initiate. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted many acharyas, but he said specifically in the case of the GBC members, and that can be extended to others, that they should be acharya-like and not simply by a rubber stamp. It's possible to go through all the tests and pass your bhakti vaibhav test and still have so many wrong ideas. In the bhakti shastra courses and bhakti vaibhav, all these things, I know that they skip certain controversial points. They don't discuss them, specifically Srila Prabhupada's position on gender roles. So if your ideas about gender roles are not in line with what Srila Prabhupada teaches, then there's going to be some rift in the parampara by you initiating. Or you could go through all the procedures and get your bhakti vaibhav course for the wrong reasons, wanting to be a guru for the wrong reasons. Of course, Srila Prabhupada wanted devotees to pass these exams, but along with shastric knowledge, it's important to assess the character and the motivations of someone who's aspiring to initiate. I'm hopeful that many of the upcoming initiating gurus in ISKCON will indeed uphold the dignity of our glorious parampara. But I'm also concerned that you can take up the role of being an initiating guru by passing some exams and getting a no objection certificate. And I'm just afraid that widely opening up guruship has risks and could cheapen the whole institution of guruship, which is viewed with some doubts, to put it euphemistically, in many quarters already. Spiritual leaders within Vaishnava society, especially sannyasis and those who are initiating, should not just be someone who's been around for a few decades, 30, 40 years, and they've passed an exam. Of course, to be around for 30 or 40 years is some achievement in itself, but it can be that someone's going on with the practices of Krishna consciousness, somewhat like being on a treadmill. You're not really going anywhere. It should be seen that those who are sannyasis and initiating gurus, it should be obvious to everyone. They should stand out, be shining examples of a higher standard of renunciation and devotion than those who are their disciples or those they are ministering to and preaching to. Their sadhana, their detachment from sense gratification, their absorption in Krishna consciousness, their clear understanding of Siddhanta, their spiritual maturity, should all be seen to be at a very exemplary level, not an average sadhaka. They should be seen to be attached to the whole process of Krishna consciousness, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, service, Sevanam. And in this way, those who are average sadhakas, or of course, anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness is glorious, but most devotees are just trying to get in line and try to get themselves steady and come up. So those who are on a beginning level can confidently take shelter of those who are very clearly very advanced and saintly. They can entrust their spiritual lives to those who are well ahead of them. I would suggest that those who are initiating are not working in a job or doing business. It is possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was grihastha, he had a government job. But it's going to be hard to, for most devotees to see someone who is working in the workforce as a highly advanced spiritual soul. If they're very much involved in materialistic matters. So far, guruship in ISKCON has had some outstandingly good stories and many horror stories also, many difficulties arose shortly after Srila Prabhupada left. Unfortunately, the first batch of gurus came in with much hope, much support from their godbrothers and godsisters, but they frankly made such a mess that gave a rise to a major deviation, Ritvikism, which is against all Shastra and all tradition. But people who take to this, they want to delude themselves into believing they have a guru when they can't trust anyone. And now we have new gurus coming up and we can expect many more by this push from the GBC and especially as Srila Prabhupada's disciples, those who are initiating, pass on. When big gurus pass on, then His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj has passed on as many disciples. So we can expect that some of his disciples will come up and take on the role, the responsibility of initiating and guiding formally. I request the upcoming or incoming gurus to consciously set an ideal example. It is widely perceived, rightly or wrongly, and we have to say that there is at least a grain of truth in it. At least we have to say that ISKCON guruship so far has been beset by various levels of pettiness, absurdity, hypocrisy. Let's do it right. Let the next generation do it right. Just be simple, straightforward devotees, not politicking, not trying to show themselves great. Just be Krishna conscious and give Krishna conscious to others. Taking on such a huge responsibility is a great test of one's character and leadership. Not everyone can do it. It might seem to be an easy thing, and Srila Prabhupada characteristically said, what is the difficulty? It's not at all difficult to be a guru. You just repeat what you have heard. But it is a great responsibility, and before you start initiating, you can hardly imagine the kinds of tests and temptations you are likely to face. As long as we are within the material energy, Maya covers us with her avaranatmika potency, just covered. When we try to come out of her clutches, she kicks in with prakshepatmika, the potency of throwing us back into her clutches. And when we really make a big step against Maya, she really pushes back. So be aware there'll be many tests and temptations, and it's not an easy service. It's easy to say, well, gurus are doing so many things wrong, but all right, have a look at it. If you see that things aren't going right, then commit to not perpetuate it. Only initiate if you sincerely feel that by doing so, you can benefit the disciples. If you have any other motive, then you're cheating by taking disciples. Do it responsibly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not practice the craft of a guru. The craft of a guru, that sounds pretty ominous, putting it in that way. Do not practice the craft of a guru for the purpose of injuring others through malice. Do not adopt the trade of a guru. The trade of a guru, like a business. Do not adopt the trade of a guru in order to get immersed in the slough of this world. The slough means like thick mud in which we get caught. But if you can indeed be my guileless servant, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur here is paraphrasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying, if you can indeed be my guileless servant, you will be endowed with my power, then you need not fear. Guileless means anyabhilashita shunya, not cultivating material desires, and nishkapat, not duplicitous. Just straightforward, initiate others, guide others, set an example, be a humble servant. If we can do it like that, guilelessly, it's glorious. If not, it's going to be a mess. Especially as the role of a guru gives tremendous opportunities for even gross sense gratification. But if you do that, then you are fallen immediately and despised. And for subtle sense gratification, lab puja pratishtadi jato upashaka gon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned that by performing devotional service, one can gain materially, one can be honored, one can have a big position. He warned not to be bewildered by such temptations. Someone can be lauded as a great saint in one life and become a dog in the next. We find that in Ramayana, that one abbot in a monastery, or the head of a monastery, He became a dog in the next life because he took that position to lord it over others. Instead of becoming das, anudas, anudas, he treated others subordinate to him in a haughty way. So our motive should be pure, that's all. Then everything will be fine. Otherwise, there will be problems. Anyway, there will be problems. This whole material world is full of problems, and accepting disciples means accepting so many other people's problems also. Be careful not to get overly involved in all the nitty-gritty of disciples' problems. The solution is Krishna consciousness. The solution isn't psychological adjustment or anything else. The solution is Krishna consciousness. Don't create problems in the name of giving Krishna consciousness. The solution is Krishna consciousness. So be careful. We've seen very good devotees having been spoiled by taking on the role of gurus. Of course, it's not taking on the role of gurus in and of itself, but some devotees haven't been able to handle all that comes with this tremendous responsibility. It's repeatedly seen that devotees change after getting a little power, prestige, or position, not only in the role of gurus, but it may be just given some small service in which they have a little power over others, and very nice, simple, friendly devotees can get the big man, big head syndrome. And what to speak of being in a post, in a role where you are seen as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in some ways. We shouldn't start to think, I'm an avatar from the spiritual world. We can look in our heart and see what's there and be realistic. Even if you are an avatar from the spiritual world, we should, maybe, I'm not saying there can't be, we should still be aware of and in line with the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada if we're going to initiate in Srila Prabhupada's line. The defining quality of gurus in ISKCON now and into the future has to be faith in Srila Prabhupada and his message and allegiance to it and commitment to live it and perpetuate it and preach it. Perpetuating it means preaching it and living it and training others to live according to Srila Prabhupada's message, which is non-different from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and Krishna's message, but there's Srila Prabhupada's personal imprint is there also. In the introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, the author of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, very humbly submits that he is just trying to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, although he humbly thinks himself unfit for this work. That should be the attitude of all preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. We should never think of ourselves as great preachers, but should always consider that we are simply instrumental to the previous acharyas, and simply by following in their footsteps, we may be able to do something for the benefit of suffering humanity. That should be our motto and guide as we take on this service. One reason for wanting to have many gurus is to leave behind and go beyond the syndrome of having mega gurus. And in some cases, we've seen that there are gurus whose disciples bring to them more and more and more disciples, candidates for initiation, with an emphasis very much on quantity rather than quality. And sometimes we see that leading disciples of these gurus who recommend people for initiation, bring others to initiation, they don't seem to care if the people that they're bringing may not be really ready for initiation. Some of them may not be of good character at all. They may be have so many motivations, they may not understand the philosophy, they may still be worshipping demigods, worshipping Sai Baba, they may be political or exploitive or manipulative, but somehow or other they just want to bring in more and more and more and increase the numbers. And the gurus themselves might be very liberal and wanting to spread the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give out the mercy. But I request the upcoming initiators to keep a check on this tendency of making many, many disciples to increase the numbers. It might make you look better, it might make those who are bringing more and more disciples, might make them look good and make them look like big preachers, but it's not a competition to see who is the most popular, who has the most disciples, who can bring more and more disciples to their guru. Being a guru is not fun or career advancement. If you actually feel for your disciples, you can't imagine how much pain and disturbance they can cause to you by their foolishness, weakness, and in some cases, wickedness. And if you don't feel for your disciples, you shouldn't be a guru. Simple. Don't think of disciples as my disciples, like my personal property. Better, as we learn from Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, better to think of disciples as Vaishnavas sent by my guru so that we can serve them on behalf of my guru, as parents serve their children. So it's not a position to enjoy. Really, to be a guru, you sit on a big seat and others will worship you, this and that. But really, one has to have the mood of being dasa, nudasa, nudas. And remember that our identity is as a servant of my guru and only secondarily as myself being guru. The only way to really be a guru is to not think of oneself as a guru, but to think of oneself as a servant of one's own guru and a servant of one's own disciples also. Of course, the guru has to take the role of a guru and instruct and correct the disciples, maybe chastise them. But trinadapi sunichena, this mood which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has emphasized so much, is always applicable. It's absolutely the characteristic of a Vaishnava, and how much more so for gurus. In this respect, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur very pertinently advised us in one of the many beautiful and instructive songs that he wrote, that amito Vaishnav e buddhi hoile amani nahobo ami. Pratishta sa ashi hridoy dushibe hoibo niroyagami. Nije sreshta jani uchishta di dane hobe obhiman bhar. Tai shishatava takia sarvada naloibo puja kar. If I think I am a Vaishnava, I shall look forward to receiving respect from others. And if the desire for fame and reputation pollutes my heart, certainly I shall go to hell. By giving others the remnants of my food, I shall consider myself superior and shall be burdened with the weight of false pride. Therefore, always remaining your surrendered disciple, he's praying to his guru, I shall not accept worship from anyone else. Now, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did accept disciples, but this is the internal mood he should have. That he's teaching us that we should have if we are to accept that role. Definitely, if we accept disciples, we're going to be treated as special by them and by others. But we shouldn't think of ourselves as special because others treat us like that. It's a conundrum that we have to take the role that is required. One has to take the role of a guru and accept worship. But at the same time, we should always feel that I'm simply doing this as a servant of my guru. I'm not really qualified, but I have to do this as a service. So we shouldn't be imperious, control freaks, micromanaging, thinking ourselves superior even to our god siblings who don't initiate, or they may be initiating, but they have less disciples. Because I'm a guru, I'm better. Not demanding. One advice, best as far as possible, don't get thickly involved in management. Srila Prabhupada said that management follows preaching like a shadow. But rather than being involved in all the nitty-gritty of management, better to be a spiritual guide. Don't try to micromanage disciples' lives. Let others be involved in management. It's a difficult service, managing a spiritual institution. And the tendency is that one will be seen in management as being partial, whereas a guru, he's supposed to be impartial and not getting involved in factions or parties or politics, which unfortunately is just part of management, or at least the way management is often perceived. Don't micromanage, but you will have to give advice, and that will affect others' lives. If you give advice that is not conducive for spiritual advancement, or even material welfare, you'll have to suffer. It's not that because you take a role of a guru, then you become absolved from responsibility. Rather, we have more responsibility. Sometimes I see, it may not necessarily be initiating gurus, it may be others who are senior devotees who are giving advice to others, just whimsically telling others to divorce when they could tell them not to divorce. You may say, oh, well, the situation in the marriage is so bad, but I've had experience of telling others not to divorce. They take it seriously and they patch up. It's just too easy a so-called solution, which isn't really a solution at all. I'm just giving that as one example. But in general, one shouldn't think, well, now I'm a guru, and then dispense advice on all kinds of things that they don't really know about and messing up others' lives. Often devotees ask me about what should I do in this situation, or they write an email and I tell them, I'm not going to advise you because there are so many factors which I'm not aware of. I'm just hearing your side of the story. And there may be so many factors that I'm not aware of. And it's better not to advise unless you really get deeply into the mechanics, modalities of what's going on. But on the other hand, is it a guru's duty to get into all the different details of people's lives? Give them spiritual advice. Give them advice from the Vedic culture, from the Vedic literature about Varnashram, general advice. Remember, we're responsible. If by giving bad advice we cause others to suffer, we'll have to suffer. Don't think because I'm a big guru, I'm immune. Guru means responsibility, and responsibility means we are held accountable. We're a guru in as much as we give proper advice, not that I am a guru, so anything I say must be perfect. Do you see the distinction? Really, one can be a guru in as much as one gives proper advice. But if you think I'm a guru, therefore whatever I say must be perfect, we got it all back to front. Actually, a guru, sadhu, should cause suffering, beneficial suffering. How can suffering be beneficial? A surgeon's cutting is beneficial. In the same way, Lord Krishna teaches in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tato du sangam utsrija satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. An intelligent person, seeing the condition of this material world, should reject all bad association and instead take the association of saintly devotees whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind. The words of a sadhu, they cutting. In this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, without doubt, a sadhu's words possess power to destroy the evil propensities of one's mind. Can you speak like that, Guru? In this way, sadhus benefit everyone who associates with them. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He then applies the knife. The very word sadhu has no other meaning than this. He stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. The sensuous desires of men are like goats. The sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant language. If the sadhu turns into my flatterer, then he does me harm. He becomes my enemy. If he flatters us, we will be led to the road which brings worldly enjoyment, but no factual well-being. That is a guru. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our own Srila Prabhupada. These are gurus. We have to follow in their footsteps. Some other thoughts. When someone becomes a guru, his life changes. Becomes a guru means one should have those qualities before one formally accept the roles. But it's something like becoming a father. Suddenly you have this huge responsibility of children depending on you with huge demands and expectations, and your perspectives will change also. Your whole life changes. No one can understand what it's like to be a guru without taking that service, and you may have doubts about why gurus conduct themselves like this and that, but when you take up the role, take up the responsibility, then you get to understand. Someone may say, I'll never accept so much facility and respect, but as a guru, it's your duty to do so. That's what gurus do. That's the tradition. That's what's stated in Shastra. Disciples expect and practically demand to offer service, but we shouldn't think ourselves entitled to privileges and respect, or think that we have a license to live luxuriously and spend lots of money on ourselves, acquire so many properties. Don't consider other initiators rivals in the scramble to get disciples and be envious of them. Remember, again, we have the responsibility to convey the teachings of our parampara and uphold its dignity. we have to responsibly, properly represent our own Guru and Srila Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas, and to serve the present community of Vaishnavas by setting an exemplary example. We can do tremendous good if we discharge our duties well, and tremendous harm if we don't discharge our duties well. If we claim to represent Srila Prabhupada but give a different message, well, that's cheating. It's easy to cheat others, and there may be temptations like that. Disciples may want to see their guru as being in a lila, everything he does is transcendental, don't question anything he does. Srila Prabhupada warns against transcendental fraud in his purport to Canto 3, Chapter 24, Text 34 of Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Sannyas, or renunciation of material household life, necessitates complete absorption in Krishna consciousness and immersion in the self. One does not take sannyas, freedom from family responsibility in the renounced order of life, to make another family or to create an embarrassing transcendental fraud in the name of sannyas. The sannyasi's business is not to become a proprietor of so many things and amass money from the innocent public." So, of course, it's not only sannyasis who can or should initiate, but the warning is there about transcendental fraud. Another warning, transcendental fraud, in this message: don't resort to cheap gimmicks and get into cheap self-promotion and hype. Don't emphasize sentimentalism, promote yourself, give out badges of yourself, promote or allow to be promoted exaggerations about my spiritually elevated position. The simple formula is to be practicing properly and preaching properly. That's all. Sanatan Goswami said about Haridas Thakur, and it's perfect guidelines for all preachers and especially gurus in future. Apane achare keha na kare prachar, prachar karin keha na karin achar, achar prachar name karaha dui karj, tumi sharba guru, tumi jagate arj. Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur that you personally practice Krishna consciousness very properly. Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur that some people practice Krishna consciousness very well, but they don't preach. Others preach, they don't behave properly in devotional service, but you, Haridas, you do both. You behave properly, you follow all the requirements, you preach all in relationship to the holy name. Therefore, you are the guru of everyone, the best in the universe. Of course, Haridas Thakur is not known to have personally initiated or even been initiated. He's on that level. In a talk on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, "Unless one is situated as a pure Vaishnava in his dealings, in his behavior, inside and outside, he should not become a preacher because it will not be effective. Neither should one hear from such a person. People in general cannot understand, but those who are preaching, they must be very sincere. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti. They should read the literatures." Those who are preaching, they should read the literatures, the instructions, just like Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction. We should follow, strictly follow. Then, prithivin sasheshyat, then you'll be able to preach and make disciples all over the world. This is the injunction. That is called Goswami. Don't be a cheap preacher or cheap guru. No, no, Srila Prabhupada said. That is not good. So, taking on the role of a guru, don't think that, well, I don't have to rise early, I don't have to follow all these rules, I don't have to only take prasadam. Rather, it becomes more imperative to follow well and set a good example for others. Speak exactly in line with the parampara. Encourage disciples to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Preach according to those books. Be heavy as a guru, heavy in knowledge, heavy in shastra. If you claim to represent Srila Prabhupada but don't give the same message, you are cheating. And especially, let's be frank, there are all kinds of ideas floating around the Vaishnav world. We have to keenly discriminate sat from asat, what is proper, what is correct, from asat, what is not proper, what is not correct. We have to clearly understand and teach our disciples like that also. Otherwise, there's all kinds of new age, life coaching, personality development, indirect preaching, non-parampara, rubbish ideas, which have deeply entered the Vaishnav world today. Here's something maybe even more controversial. Don't blindly follow institutional groupthink and become denatured. Think for yourself. To get approval to be a guru, you have to do a course, a major purpose of which is to see if you are in line with the institution. But it seems to me, whoever or whatever I may be, in my humble opinion, for the health of the institution, it needs leaders who are ready to speak out against deviations and wrongdoing and institutionalized bureaucracy and missing the point. New gurus and everyone who's taking to Krishna consciousness have to be careful of womanly attraction, especially those who are taking such an exalted role, so many messes, simply because those in the roles of gurus were not careful in interacting with the fair sex. Be careful. Maya will be after you more. Again, prakshepatmaka, throw you back. Kshurasya dhara, it's like a razor's edge. Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. Kanaka kamani, the attractions of wealth and women. Kanaka kamini, pratishta bhagini, the tigress of desire for honor. Sadhus and gurus become very attractive to women. We are warned, it is better not to have many disciples if one is not very advanced. This is because a guru accepts the sinful reactions of disciples. And if the guru is not very strong, accepting many disciples can cause fall downs. That means that by chanting Hare Krishna, the disciple becomes freed from sinful reactions, but then he takes vows. And if he reneges on those vows and acts sinfully, then the person who accepted those vows on behalf of Krishna and the parampara has to accept at least part of the sinful reaction. So it can be a very heavy burden on the guru. So this is a message to upcoming gurus in 10 years' time from now. The upcoming gurus, those who are coming in now, will be a whole new set of big figures dominating the ISKCON world. We can't be sure who they will be. The whole scenery in ISKCON is set to change. All best wishes to the upcoming gurus. With an increase in the number of gurus, maybe prospective disciples will start to examine and evaluate more and make choices very carefully who they accept initiation, who they approach for initiation, if at all they're allowed a chance because, or a choice, because that is a common syndrome, at least here in India, that many devotees, they don't even know that they're supposed to examine the guru, see if they're satisfied that they can surrender. Okay, so that's my message to the upcoming gurus. Doubtful if many or any of the upcoming gurus will listen to this at all, but if even one does and seriously considers it, this little talk will be some benefit, Krishna willing. And it's not just for now, this message will remain as long as this technology remains, or as long as memories remain. This message will remain for all upcoming gurus well into the future. I've said quite a few negative things because the positive essence is easy to understand. Just speak and act according to parampara. But Maya has many subtle ways of working. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns against kutinati, deceptive behavior, puja pratishta, desire for name, fame, worship, and honor. That word guileless, again, is very important. And despite so many negative comments, I have all best wishes and good hopes for the upcoming gurus. Go forward, make many new branches of the Chaitanya tree, spread the Krishna conscious movement widely, bring it to the next level. Take the blessings of all the acharyas in the parampara. All good wishes to all of you. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charkipa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padayane patya kritva cha kakushatam etada hamravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad. Gauranga chandra charane kuruta anuraga. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madati mata. Bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.